Good morning. This is Michael Stoller for the Stoller Real Estate Report on the Cats Roundtable. Retail, a word that was personifying bad times, especially with the internet. Retail, what's really happening in retail? I don't know the answer. So today I've assembled the leading maven of the retail world, one of the three founding members of the Edward S. Gordon Retail Group, the one and only Andrew Goldberg. Thanks for being here, Andrew.
Thanks for having me, Michael. What a nice introduction.
So you, when you went over there, you were the first vice chairman of CBRE.
Yeah, I was there for 30 years, so I was an overnight success.
It took 30 years for them?
Yeah, okay. Vice chairman came about 20, but yeah.
So how's the world look today, you know, especially after COVID? We're at a different time today in the
retail
world?
We're at a very different time in retail. You know, when COVID-19... it was slowing down already, right? The markets peaked in around 15, 16, and things were starting to slow. But then when COVID hit, everything, you know, came to a halt. So most retailers spent, you know, a couple of years almost trying to figure out the situation and figure out their stores. That had no growth. That had no, you know, changes. Most people just kicked the can. And now what we've seen last year, in 22 and in 23, was that businesses needed to start to move forward again. And that's when we started to see some real aggressive growth and new entrants come into the market, people changing concepts. So retail, you always need to keep moving forward. And we had a couple of years of just stop.
Now, you had said a couple of weeks ago, I think, to a member of the press, that the world of the retail ownership of properties has continued from many years ago when it originally started.
So going back when I started in the business and even before then, a lot of the European designers they were family-owned businesses, multi-generational, and they owned a lot of their real estate. So it wasn't uncommon, you know, in Europe, in all the major cities, you find that they own their real estate. And then some of them were coming here and they were buying the buildings here. As companies grew, it became less desirable for them to own the real estate. And as they went public, a lot of those companies, owning the real estate wasn't the best use of the cash. And it seems like we're now going back full circle to, you know, some of these companies buying the real estate.
Would you consider certain of the prices that they're paying ridiculous? Because they seem rather high as compared to the rest of the market of the real estate world.
I wouldn't say ridiculous. I'd say that it's a very finite market that we're talking about that we've seen the trades in, right? We haven't seen a lot of trades throughout the city. We've seen so far the two big ones that everyone's talking about are sitting in, you know, 56th and 5th. And when you realize that for these brands, and they're big luxury groups and they're public, but they're really controlled by family shareholders, that it's not the worst use of cash to own the asset, but more importantly, it allows them to tie up the space for their brands
and
perpetuity.
And it also protects them on rent increases.
And they can figure out how they want to allocate the expenses to the store on rent versus how they want to allocate it throughout the corporate structure.
What's happening on Madison Avenue today? Because Madison Avenue had really been hurting.
So Madison has gone through a huge evolution. It was COVID really hurt Madison and Fifth, for that matter. But when you walked Madison a year ago, it was a lot of vacancy. And now we're seeing that there are leases that are, you know, stores coming, stores under construction. A lot of shifting was Madison, you know, 57th to 62nd, 63rd. You saw a lot of activity. And now going north up to 72nd, there's many of those spaces all have coming soon signs. So we've seen a tremendous amount of space come off the market, and we're going to watch as in the prime part of Madison, two buildings are going to be coming down. So you're going to have a full block empty on 58th to 59th, and then you have up on 60th another development. So those tenants all need to come out. They're all relocating elsewhere on the avenue. And then over the next several years, you'll start to see those spaces come back on the market again.
The restaurant business seems to be growing, especially your firm recently took care of the Avra lease at the Farley building.
Yeah, the, you know, F&B has been a real driver. right? Luxury and F&B have really been driving a lot of the deals that are done in the velocity that we've seen over the last year. Everything from the quick serve grab and go stuff to the full service restaurants. I think that as the coming back to work and figuring out how to make office buildings the most desirable as they can be, with amenities in the building as well as restaurants at the base. So the better restaurateurs are making deals now. They're able to grow, and landlords want them in the buildings.
So let's talk a little bit about the area on the far west side in Hudson Yards for retail.
Well, I mean, that's basically a new city came into Manhattan, and it's been over the last few years, many years, but it's now fully developed. The buildings are all up through the second phase of Hudson Yards. So the office space is all leased. From what I know about office leasing, it appears that...
Right. The office space is not a problem. I think the retail with the question was when Neiman moved out and to be taken over by Wells Fargo, reduce the amount of space.
Yeah, but they had a lot of retail there. I still think, again, the office buildings need the retail. The two live together, right? You need to be able to service and provide goods and services for the tenants in the buildings. So they had a lot of retail space there. I think when they were designing and building and leasing Hudson Yards, everybody was going bigger and bigger with retail. Then as the project got fully developed and people were living in it, it started to realize that retail wasn't as necessary as they originally thought, and they were able to get back the box. And they had Wells Fargo, and my understanding was others, that were looking at that as really good new modern office space. Right. And I think it's the right thing to do. So now you have at Hudson Yards, the tenants, certain tenants on the ground floor are all doing really well. You have now a lot of great F&B and less space, I think, will help that project.
What about the Farley Station and the Moynihan Station?
You know, they did a great job. Just did a great job, I think, with all of, you know, the new, again, a lot of F&B, a lot of, you know, there's people are walking through those buildings, not just as a place to take a train, but they're actually going there if they work in around the area, and they're using it as their paths to walk through to get from, you know, Penn Station.
Right.
Across.
But the irony is you go down to the Fulton Market and Westfield wants to give up their space. Okay. Because it's like different market and there's a lot of people there. Surprising.
Different deal structure also for what was going on. And I don't fault it. I think Westfield's starting to rethink some of the decisions they made or what they're doing going forward as a company. So I just don't know how that fits into.
What about the gyms and the boutique gyms?
So you know,
the Lifetime Fitness and that type.
And we're seeing a lot of the bigger gym operators now all coming, not such little boutiques anymore. It's a lot of the big guys are coming, and you read that Chelsea Piers signed a big lease and they're reported to be running around for more space. Crunch is out in the market, New York Sports. So we're seeing there are big guys that are looking for large blocks of space to do gyms also now. So it's that was another one of those COVID businesses that really stalled and slowed down. And now they're coming back and looking. The biggest issue for them is just finding the amount of space they need in a configuration that works at economics that work.
And what about pickleball, which has become a...
So I just had this conversation before I came here about people looking to do pickle and padel. Padel is a new thing that people were trying to open up a pickleball padel club and trying to find space in the city. So I'm sure, you know, we've seen some pickleball open up. I know on the far west side and on West 42nd, they put it into the Lifetime over there. So it seems to be taking on a lot of, you know, momentum.
To go back to your early career and family, you were in the bagel business, okay? There is, you know, Goldberg's Bagels, everybody knows it in the Hamptons and parts of New Jersey and other areas. There are stores like Bagel Stores, you know, Raising Cane and all these others. And also, what's your thoughts about those coming in here, coupled with the fact of what's happening in Times Square with 61 million visitors last year?
So, a couple of different things there, right? When you look at Times Square, again, over 60 million people coming in to visit Times Square. They're there. It's just a sea of people. And what we've seen now is that a lot of fast food or quick serve is going in there. And it's the Raising Cane's, which has a line at all times. We've seen, you know, McDonald's open up their new cons, Popeyes, and it's just a lot of grab and go, fast turns. And I think that's what it is. That's where the people are, and that's what you're catering to. And they're seeming to have huge success, and the rents came down to levels where you can do that.
And you can make a living.
And they can make good money. The bagel stores are a little different. Those are local, more local businesses. But
the irony is you don't have any local operators opening the stores. You have chains up opening stores, so there are more of those. So as I would say on my TV show, I always had a crystal apple. I don't have it over here. The crystal apple, I think, is shiny because I think the world of retail is very successful, and I think it's going to only get better. And I'd like to thank Andrew Goldberg of CBRE for being here today. See you next week.
Thanks for having me, Michael. Always nice to see you.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.